Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study titled, Let No Man Beguile You, in Colossians chapter 2, covering verses 18 and 19. This is part 2 of 2.
They'll leave churches because they know their church isn't going to compromise. And they end up in a mess. They'll stop serving the Lord. Their convictions, and they try to put it to the back of their head, but it affects them, and they stop witnessing. They stop handing out Bible tracts. They stop reading the Bible the way they ought to. They stop praying the way they ought to. Why? Because they're convicted and they know they're wrong. And their conscience eats. And they compromise and they compromise and they destroy themselves. And I'm seeing women especially. It can happen to men too, but I'm just talking about what I'm seeing. I'm seeing women who have decided that since it's someone they love, that they are going to compromise and accommodate Sodom in their own homes. The Proverbs woman who tears down her own house with her hands, that's who those women are. If you compromise in your own home and you let Sodom in, you are going to be held responsible for killing your own home, killing your own marriage, killing your own family. And there are preachers who are being challenged by people in their churches. And I'm just telling you, most time the story involves a mother whose son or daughter turns homo. And so suddenly the preacher's not supposed to preach on it anymore. And if they've got some of this, some of those preachers have gone along. And their churches are going into the pit. Amen. That's being beguiled. That preacher is going to lose reward. That mother is going to lose reward. And she's probably going to send her own child to hell. Instead of confronting them with their sin and praying for them, she's accommodated them. If you love your children, you confront them. Amen? Amen. Just think of her on a very toddler level. If Gloria were to walk over and really be intent on sticking a fork in the outlet. Oh, but she really wants to, Jenny. She really wants to. Just let her. Just, you know, she really wants to. Can't you tell how bad she wants to do that? And Jenny loves Gloria enough. She'd not only stop Gloria, then she'd slap me. Because she loves the baby. Same goes for her mom or dad or anybody else who loves her. They would not let her go in with a fork into the outlet. But that's what parents are doing with their children today. Oh, but they really, I don't care what they really. Now, this is an intro to Gnosticism, which, by the way, strangely enough, involved a lot of homosexuality. Paul is warning the Colossian believers about the Gnostics when he says, let no man beguile you of your reward. And he says, in a voluntary humility. Folks, when a man stands up here and just goes on and on about how humble he is, he may not even use the word humble, but he just paints a picture of himself. Here's an example.
Last night, I was just struggling over this message. I was up to the wee hours of the morning in prayer. I sweat drops of blood just to come up with this message for you today.
Hey, minus the sweat drops of blood, I've actually heard that numerous times through the years. Preachers humbly bragging on themselves of how a humble bragger, an oxymoron. It is. But that's how some people are. They'll tell you how humble they are. That was what the Gnostics would do. The Gnostics would walk around and pretend they had some higher knowledge, but then,
well, little old me who means nothing in the presence of God, I was given a word for you.
Wait a minute. The Bible says there's one mediator between man and God. That's the man Christ Jesus. When did he appoint you to be a co-mediator with Jesus to come to me? Amen. How many of you have that happen to you? Okay, a few of you, because it's happened to me on a number of occasions. And I heard a preacher years ago say, A woman came to him to tell him this, and he said, stop right there. I want you to go back and tell the Lord he knows where I live. You got a word for me from the Lord? The Lord knows where I live. Go back and tell him that he knows where I live. If he has a word for me, come visit me. Amen. Amen. That's what I mean by being an Acts 17:11 Berean. You have been told there's one mediator between you and God, and it ain't Greg Miller.
Amen.
It ain't Benny Hinn.
Amen.
It ain't the Pope.
Amen.
It's the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus said, these words that I speak, they are spirit in their life. Amen. There's where you get the word of Jesus, right there.
Amen.
Amen. Gnostics elevated themselves with this pretended humility. You might have heard this old saying, he's the most humble man he's ever known. Just ask him. And you may not believe this. I was doing a funeral years ago and Mariah was a little baby in diapers. And a woman came up to me and said, Preacher, that was a wonderful message. I really enjoyed the message for the funeral today. Well, you know, thank you. It's just the Word of God. But I do disagree with one thing. You said that we're all sinners. I haven't sinned in 12 years. Yeah, for real. After some conversation, I not only found out that she was sinless, but she was also a pastor. And I said, well, according to the Bible, just being a pastor, you're a sinner. Because the Bible says that a woman shouldn't have authority over men in the church. So right there's one big sin you got to take care of. And I said, and we'll talk about this some other time because a funeral is not really a good place for a debate. I said, but I'd love to talk to you about it some other time. And I never got that chance. True story. Sister May was the wedding I was doing. A wonderful Christian woman is in heaven. Now, Paul is going to directly mention a Gnostic practice of false humility when he mentions worshiping of angels.
Yeah.
Now, you're sitting here thinking, well, that's not something I have to worry about. Well, there's been an awful lot of people who say that and they end up involved in it.
Yeah.
A lot of people who think that they have a guardian angel. Now, I'm not saying you don't. Understand me. The Bible talks about you having an angel. But the Bible never says you're supposed to talk to them. And so people believe in this angel, and then they're like, all right, what's your name? Knock twice if it's Fred. And then somehow there's a, oh, and now you really believe. The devil can knock. They get pulled in that stuff. And I to visit this lady after I hadn't seen her for a few years, went in her place, and the place was covered with what she called angels. Problem with that is, almost all of them looked female. And the Bible doesn't talk about female angels. And they all had these wings. So they had, yeah, a little, he likes a little fat one. He said, kind of like me with it, you know. If I was an angel. But the Bible speaks of cherub having wings, but again, never refers to them as female. And books about angels everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, the angels didn't come to be worshipped. The angels are ministering spirits, and they're all about Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, Gabriel back in Daniel 9, he was talking about when the Messiah would come, and when the false Messiah would come, and the Messiah would kick his rear end.
Amen.
And I was like, yeah, that's the angelic message right there. It's about Jesus. Gabriel shows up again in Luke. What's he doing? He's talking about Jesus showing up.
Yeah.
It's all about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, he's got a particular job. It's to defend the people of Jesus, Israel. Michael stands for Israel. There's never anything in there about you communicating with angels or anything. And think about that. What these people will tell you, and I've heard it, and we'll talk about another example, is the people who pray to Mary and the saints. When you ask them why they do that, they'll always use false humility and say, well, I just don't feel like I should go right to the Lord. I think I could talk to his mother, and then she could convince him that he needs to. That's what they'll tell you.
Yeah.
How many of you had that conversation with a Roman Catholic?
Yeah.
I've had that conversation several times through the years. That's why I ask, does it sound familiar? You may think worshiping angels is not, well, it is a lot more familiar than you think. You know, that's what Oprah's involved in. These New Agers all think they're talking to angels, and sometimes they'll call them spirit guides. They are worshiping angels, and they are fallen angels. That's right. I believe they are. They get messages from beyond. I don't think they're all making it up. I think some of them, I mean, they, because you go back to Deuteronomy, God will say there'll be a prophet who will speak and he'll actually foretell the truth and get it right. Then he'll say, let us go after other gods. And what are you supposed to do? Ignore him.
Amen.
Now, if that's true about a prophet, I believe it can be true about somebody, because those prophets are probably in the Old Testament. They are probably engaged with communication with fallen angels. You go to a psychic, you get the Ouija board out, you might be just goofy, but sometimes I think they're really in contact with angels. Fallen angels. And you talk to these people, it's what they always give, is that false humility. Praying to Mary and the saints, as I mentioned. I've read the Catholic text where it says, you know, we can go to Jesus through his mother or the saints. And it just helps somehow. That's what they teach. The Bible teaches no such thing. As a matter of fact, the Bible gives no indication. I believe the saints know what's going on in the world in general. But the Bible gives no indication that they can hear you in any way, shape, or form. You pray to Saint Michael or Uncle Jack. Either way, if anyone's hearing you other than God who hears everything, it's a devil. And they can answer your prayers. They can answer your prayers. I mean, there's some things they can't give you. Some things they can. And that's how they get you. And then there's these people who say they're unable to know for sure whether they're saved. You'd be, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, are you sure you're going to heaven? Well, I don't believe any of us could actually say we're for sure. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, I think that's quite presumptuous. That's right. I've heard it. You know one place I heard it? Glenn Beck. Interviewing Thomas Ice several years ago. And he brought up going to heaven, and Thomas Ice preached the gospel and said, you can know for sure you're going to heaven if you believe that gospel. And Glenn Beck says, well, I don't think anybody should say they know for sure. Why? Because Glenn Beck is an unsaved Mormon. Pray for him. I'd love to see Glenn get saved.
Amen.
But right now, I've never heard anything else about him. But he hasn't been saved as far as I know. Good. Keep sending them. Yeah, sending some in the mail too. And intruding into those things which he hath not seen. How many of you know people who talk about heaven like they've been there? Listen, I'm telling you, over and over, these books about, you know, 5 days in heaven or 30 minutes in hell or whatever. Again, if you just compare them to the Scripture, they didn't go to heaven or hell. According to the Bible, they didn't go. And a young man that lives up above Bell Fountain, he sold a book for years. And then when he became, I think, 18, 19 years old, he publicly repudiated it. Said he was just kind of feeding into the whole thing. When he said he saw Jesus, he didn't really understand what he meant, but that's all he said. And suddenly everybody was interested, and so he started making this stuff up. Put it in a book, sold I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of copies in Christian bookstores. Listen, Paul went there. You remember that? And he said, I can't tell you what I saw. He said it was unlawful for him to speak of the things he saw. So why all of a sudden in the 20th and 21st century have Christians decided that there are people going up to heaven and they ride a unicorn and they play on the playground and there's still little babies there? No, the Bible clearly says we will be like Jesus. We're not going to, if a baby dies, they go to heaven, but they don't stay a baby for eternity. You go to heaven right now, you're not going to see little babies.
Amen.
Unless you see a fat little angel. Other than that, you're not going to See babies. Yeah, Johnny?
What was that verse for when Paul went to
Sahara? Someone who has an app can look that up for you real quick. It's in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians, but I don't have the reference right off the top of my head. Paul going to the third heaven and makes that where it's unlawful for him to talk about what he saw. But it sells books. And these people always have this pretend knowledge and fake spirituality. 2 Corinthians 12:2 is the reference where Paul said he went to the third heaven and he wasn't allowed to share the information. Now, these people always have what I call the pretend knowledge, where they make stuff up, and a fake spirituality. And I had an example on my mind, and it left me, but maybe it'll come back to me as I'm talking. But you'd better be real careful. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was first saved. You know, I was listening to anybody who taught the Bible. So I had J. Vernon McGee on, and next thing you know, I'd have Kenneth Hagin on. Well, after a while, I started realizing Kenneth Hagin was a cuckoo.
Amen.
And one of the ways I understood that is because I'd listen to Kenneth Hagin one day and listen to J. Vernon McGee the next, and J. Vernon McGee would basically be describing Kenneth Hagin and saying the guy's a nut. So that's why it's good to have good teachers. Kenneth Hagin would talk about how the devil showed up in his bedroom and stood by the foot of his bed and talked to him. And he would go on, and I'm thinking, what? That doesn't sound right. And one day, Kenneth had a conversation with this Jesus, which I don't, there may have been something there, just like Joseph Smith had a Moroni, or he should have just called him Moron, the angel. There may have been a real angel, I don't know. But I know it wasn't an angel of God, because it contradicted the Bible. And Kenneth Hagin would stand there saying, you know, well, Jesus said, you have to believe. And Kenneth says, well, I believe, but you have to be the one to do it. And Kenneth Hagin said, Jesus looked at him and says, if you don't believe, I can't. He says, what do you mean? He's arguing with Jesus. I'm saying that if you don't believe, I can't do it. You see, that's Gnosticism. It's the idea that you are in control of our little puppet up there, and you believe and you make him function, but if you don't believe, he can't do anything. That's not Bible. It's not biblical.
Amen.
And I'd search the scriptures, I'd look up verses he would quote and find that he was totally taking them out of context and all that, and then I'd hear J. Vernon McGee and I'd hear the pastor I was sitting under, and all that combined, I finally just turned old Kenneth Hagin off. Amen?
Amen.
And then I still listen to Kenneth Copeland for a while. And Jimmy Swaggart. My dad used to say, if old Jimmy Swaggart would shut up and sing, I'd watch his program. And Kenneth Copeland. You don't have a God in you. You are one. End quote. That's a direct quote from Kenneth Copeland. I heard that and I got shivers. And I thought, what is wrong with that? I mean, why is he saying that? That's not true. Next thing you know, they're on the radio and some of the other preachers are saying, you know, whoa, here, Kenneth Copeland's a, you know. But a lot of people are beguiled by that stuff. And these guys always pretend to have a knowledge that you and I can't have. They're in touch with God on a level you can't touch. And it's a fake spirituality. It's pseudo-spirituality. With no biblical basis but claims of some spiritual connection to God, they reject the Scripture and speak lies. Listen, I don't care if someone says, I was out in the woods and I saw a comet and it came at me and exploded over my head. And immediately there were trillions of angels and they began singing to me. And then, you know, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, they eventually get to the point, you go to the Bible. And if it goes against the Bible, you tell them, I think you're cuckoo. Whatever medication you're on, wean off. Whatever you're drinking or smoking, put it down and walk away slowly. And today we got this, what I'm referring to is charismatic Gnosticism. They claim to be Christian. But today's Pentecostal charismatic movements are modern-day Gnostics, and they literally tell you things that I believe they know. That Paula White, all of you know, I appreciate our president, I pray for him, but when he has Paula White into the White House, I just have to say, what in the world? Why? She's a crook. She's a nut. She lies. Why would you have somebody there? And Christians listening to that. You're like, why are you listening to somebody that all you have to do is open the Bible and you can see the craziness? What was it we were watching the other day, Jay? I'm having a brain lapse. I showed you the Paula White clip where her and that other guy were talking. And it involved the death of Jesus. But, I can't remember now what it was. But anyway, you can actually not just compare the scripture, you can look it up online. And you can see these people. And the point is, I'm not up here just to name names and, you know what? I'd have to do this for the rest of 2019. There's so many crooks out there today and liars and all that. But I'm just trying to open your eyes to the reality that this Bible is your authority.
Amen.
Anything said against this word and you're being beguiled. Let no man or woman beguile you. And in closing, in verse 19, it says, and not holding the head. Is the word head in your Bible capitalized? If not, get rid of that and get a new Bible. Your Bible should have the word head capitalized because it's referring to Jesus. Their Jesus is a counterfeit. And they have rejected the biblical Jesus and His Word. They are not holding the head Jesus. They have a counterfeit from which the real head of the body, Jesus, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered. That's a mouthful. But what it's saying is that real ministry is Jesus working through us.
Amen.
See, you have the Holy Spirit if you're saved. And as you read the Word of God, Jesus said, these words that I speak, they're spirit and they're life. The Word of God goes in you. And God then uses that. The words of Jesus, that's what your Bible is. And the Holy Spirit uses that. And then at just the right time, someone comes along and they're wanting an answer, or they have prayer requests or whatever, and God will give you a scripture. But folks, you have to have read it and let it come into your head first.
Amen.
It's not going to work by osmosis.
That's right.
Or, you know, now I lay my head to sleep.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray that your word enters into my mind. Amen. You wake up in the morning. Okay, now how much of this did I get overnight? Yeah. And that might work because you wake up from the noise and actually, you know, hear it. But just laying your head on your Bible. But actually, I know a guy who would play the Bible all day long in his office. Problem was, he didn't listen to it. It was just noise, white noise in the background.
Uh-huh.
You got to let it get in there. That means you have to put off things that are going to hinder it. Your sin will hinder it.
Mm-hmm.
Confess your sin. Get forgiveness. Pray. Ask God to help you, then read it. And as it goes in, then you can expect that at some moment when you need it most, God the Holy Ghost in you is going to give you that word and you're going to speak it to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a walking Bible. Amen.
Amen.
In other words, we're nourished by the Word and Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then we minister His Word by His power. That really is as simple as it is, but it's something that too many people aren't grasping, and that's why they don't take the Bible as seriously as they ought to. They don't read it the way they should. They don't. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You got to put it in there. It's like going to, we'll just say a steakhouse instead of advertising for anybody, but a good steakhouse. I like a good steak. I'll advertise. There's a place called Red Tavern in London. And it's a historic red brick building, been there since the mid-19th century, I think, or early 19th century. They have president portraits who have been there and eaten. They brought out a steak. I ordered surf and turf, and instead of shrimp, they let me put scallops with it. Scallops that big around. And so they brought it out to me, and Jenny will tell you how happy I look when they bring it out.
He's very happy.
But you know what? It looked so good and smelled so good, I couldn't eat it. I just looked at it. Jenny took my picture with it. And I just said, that's just too, it's too pretty to eat. That's how a lot of Christians treat their Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't mark in my Bible. I don't want to put a footnote there. I don't want to highlight. I might mess it up. It's so pretty, I'm just going to put it on the shelf here so everyone will look at it.
Yep.
And they don't read it.
That's right.
They don't study it. Your Bible should look a little beat up after a few years. A little used. Not because you drove off with it sitting on the top of your car. But because you actually opened it and turned the pages. Read it. Studied to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And that's what Jesus meant when he said in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. That means you're going to open your mouth. You're going to say something. I heard it again this week. Someone has said they had a, I think it might have been our departed President Bush, who had a plaque that said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. That sounds good, but it's not biblical.
Amen.
You should live it. Amen, amen, amen. Live it. Amen?
Amen?
But if you don't speak it, you're not preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Jesus didn't just live it, he preached it. Amen. The apostles didn't just live it, they preached it. The martyrs, the missionaries throughout the years, the great preachers, and even the little old ladies who led people like D.L. Moody to the Lord,
amen,
didn't just live it, they spoke it. And you can speak it in a gospel tract or however, but you've got to get the message of the gospel to a lost sinner before they can be saved. The book, that's where it comes from.
Amen.
That's how we know the gospel. And knit together, increasing with the increase of God. That simply means growing Christians grow closer to God and to each other.
Amen.
When you put off this legalism that we talked about last couple of weeks, you put off this pretend spirituality and this pretend knowledge. You get into the book. You take in the Word as a saved Christian with the Holy Spirit in you. You will grow closer to the Lord. You'll find yourself feeling a little more love toward one another.
Amen.
One of the first things you can see in a Christian when they start to backslide is when they come into church and you sit in the corner looking like somebody slapped them. I've seen it over the years, over and over and over. Don't want to fellowship with somebody? Don't want to talk to the brethren? What's going on there? Because the Spirit of God in you makes you want to love others. Now, not everybody's going to be a, you know, what do they call a chatty, happy clappy, whatever. But you love people. Huh?
Chatty,
chatty Kathy?
Yeah, I used to have
okay,
one.
Chatty Kathy. You look over and you see somebody who is kind of being left out. You look over and you see somebody that is just kind of being left alone. You want to walk over and talk to them. You just have a love and you see that and you think, oh, you know, I'm going to go over and show them a little attention, a little love, a little. You find out somebody is going through a rough patch. You walk up to them and say, you know what, I'm praying for you. You know, that's the kind of thing. It's an outgrowth of being filled with the Word of God. Having the Spirit of God, if you're saved. Let's sing about the victory of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 402 in your hymn book.